The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with MasterCard. Indulge your passion for food with exclusive dining experiences at priceless.com.
Now, many of us have pet dogs or cats, and of course, by definition, maybe half of them might be female. But how do you know if your cat or dog is pregnant? Do you know what signs to look out for if you think it might be so? Pete Wedderburn is with me to answer these questions and tell us more about detecting pregnancy in cats and dogs. Good morning, Pete.
Good morning.
Is it when they start eating coal? Is that the clue?
There's all sorts of odd signs, actually, and funnily enough, an odd appetite can sometimes indicate but the whole situation is much more complicated than in humans. In humans, it's very simple: urine sample, job done.
Yeah. Well, how do you get a urine sample from your cat?
But the hormones are totally different as well, so it's just not. There aren't easily available tests to do that.
Well, let's talk about how early it might happen in a cat and in a dog. How old do they have to be before they can have a season and therefore potentially become pregnant?
Yeah. Well, the whole thing of reproduction is utterly different in animals to humans. So dogs and cats are what's known as dogs are non-seasonally polyestrous. That means they come into season several times a year, usually twice a year, and it's not generally linked to the season, to the seasons of the year.
Okay, so it doesn't depend on spring or autumn or any of those. Yeah.
Whereas cats are generally seasonally polyestrous. In other words, they come into season repeatedly from usually in the mid-January to mid-October. So it keeps on happening during those months.
Yeah. I mean, if you think of the opposite, we know that, for example, foxes breed at a particular time of year.
Yes.
And in the same way, lambs, there's lambing time, we have lambs at a particular time of year.
So that's the thing, that wild dogs are seasonally monoestrous. In other words, foxes generally come into season in the springtime, because what suits wild animals is to have a litter of pups in the early summer.
So they can thrive.
So they grow up during the year, the time of year when there's plenty of food.
But we have spoilt the others.
We've upset that. So dogs in general come in season kind of springtime and autumn time, but it's much, much more variable than that.
Yeah.
But although they're polyestrous, because the whole thing of coming into season and then the period after and so on, that takes around 6 months in a dog. Compared to in a cat, it's much, much shorter, only about 3 or 4 weeks. What that means is that you tend to see cats coming in a time and time and time again, whereas the dogs just tend to come in once.
They're not but again how young might a dog be when they have their first season?
It can be exceptionally early. It can be as young as like 4 or 5 months. It's not normally till they're 9 or 10 months of age. And in some breeds, it's like much longer, like 18 months of age. And in some animals, especially like little tiny chihuahuas and so on, it's as if they never come into season because it's almost invisible. So it does vary an awful lot.
And what about cats? How early can they breed?
They can come in as early as 4 months of age. And so that's why nowadays it's recommended that that cats are spayed when they're as young as 4 months of age to prevent them accidentally breeding.
Obviously, the term incest doesn't mean anything to cats and dogs.
They don't know the meaning of
that. They breed with anybody.
Yes, indeed. Male and female is the only parameter.
Okay.
Yeah. So
therefore, if you've got two dogs who are boon companions and they're male and female and they are just hanging around together, if the female comes into season, your man will have a go.
Absolutely, 100%. So as an owner, it's your responsibility to take care of that situation. It's usually fairly obvious when a female dog is coming into season, because she drips blood for about 10 days before she becomes very fertile, before she'll stand for the male dog.
And they won't have any truck. I mean, we've obviously bred one of our bitches at one stage. They won't have any truck with the male until they are actually fertile.
That's correct. So it's about, like I say, it's 7 to 10 days, and they're highly attractive to the male dog by then, but he's not interested. She's not interested. But when she's ready, when she's actually in what they call oestrus, then she will stand for him. And you can tell when she's ready, because if you put your hand on her rump, she'll plant her legs firmly on the ground and she'll move her tail to one side.
So, to allow this imaginary dog to...
All the reflexes are there.
Yeah.
And at that time, if she's also ovulating at that time. So that means that, you know, if she does get mated, then she will...
Go into pup. A chihuahua, you talk about a little chihuahua. A chihuahua would get up on a chair to facilitate an alsatian.
Well, it's technically possible. Somebody was telling me last week about so-called designer crossbreeds. There's one called, apparently, a Chippet, which is a cross between a Chihuahua and a Pit Bull, which is a genuine breed, but you'd wonder about the mechanics of that, all right.
A Pit Bull in your handbag. I don't know. Anyway, the question is then, when you have, looking for the signs that your dog is... pregnant or your cat is pregnant, what then?
Well, I think the first thing to realise is it's not inevitable. Just if they mate, it doesn't mean they're actually going to get pregnant. And in fact, the pregnancy rate is something like about 38-40%. So, you know, after mating. So it's not very likely. Because it's quite hard to tell, because there's no simple test like a urine test, what you have to do is you start with manual palpation. In other words, if a vet actually feels a dog or a cat's abdomen when they're around 3.5 to 4 weeks pregnant, they can feel little marbles there of the little fetuses, little embryos. So that's the funny enough, still the easiest way to tell. Other than that, ultrasound is the next best way. That's not easily done till they're about 4 weeks to 5 weeks gone. An ultrasound is quite specific, and you can see the enlarged uterus and the little bumps of the fetuses. So those are the sort of standard ways. X-rays can be done as well, but that's not affected till later on in pregnancy. Yeah.
Now, in cats, because cats are out and about all the time, I mean, obviously the thing is to neuter them. If you don't want to have little kittens to have to try and give to friends and relations.
It's almost inevitable. If you've got a female cat that's not spayed, she's going to have kittens, guaranteed, because there's always a few old stray tomcats around the back somewhere who'll take advantage of a kitten in season.
And then you have a situation where you can have different toms mating with the cat, and have, like, you might have a black tom and a ginger tom, and you'll end up with kittens from both fathers.
You would indeed. Cats are certainly not monogamous, that's for sure.
Yeah, but that's the point, is in the same litter of kittens, you'll have the, so it's,
and you can have the same in dogs, actually, as well.
All right, well.
There you are.
Anyway, we should talk some more on this related topic next week in the programme. But some of the questions coming in, I've got 2 4-month-old kittens who keep each other entertained when my partner and I are at work. What's your opinion on letting them watch cat TV? There are lots of YouTube channels specifically designed for cats, showing videos of mice, birds, fish, etc. They seem to love it, but I heard it might be cruel and could cause them to become frustrated or stressed. What do you think?
I think it's great, and I'd encourage it.
But do they see as we see, or is it just moving shadows?
No, I'm sure they see, especially with high definition television.
They see pretty much what's going on.
They see what's going on. Now, whether they understand that it's not quite real, well, that's a good question. I think 2 things. First of all, make sure your television is secure so that if a cat leaps onto it and hangs on, it doesn't fall over. Okay. And secondly, I would get some physical toys as well. Get some decent scratching posts, some toys on the ground for them to jump on and play with, because they do need to have a physical interaction as well. But there's no doubt that cat TV is good visual entertainment. Okay.
I have a curiosity now that's just been sparked. Would they enjoy Tom and Jerry cartoons where inevitably the mouse gets won over on the cat? And would they recognise the cartoon as a cat? Do you know what I mean?
I think more research is needed here, Pat.
Pete, we have recently moved house and our previously well-behaved 4-year-old miniature schnauzer has started peeing on my daughter's bedroom floor, and our 2-year-old cat, a rag doll, has found a spot on the living room. We've attempted restricting both pets in the tiled areas of the house, but with 2 kids, the doors often get opened and they go directly back to their spots. We have a litter tray which the cat uses, and the dog goes out to the garden regularly, and otherwise they both seem happy and not stressed by the move, but we're pulling out our hair, particularly with the cat pee. It's very hard to get rid of the smell in the room. Any help would be appreciated, says Jane.
Well, Jane, I guess this started with both animals wanting to mark their new territory a little bit. They were in this alien environment that didn't smell anything like themselves, and they wanted to make it smell a bit like themselves. So out came the piddle. And the problem is that once the piddle is started, it's very difficult to get rid of that strong smell. And regular household disinfectants and cleaners don't do the job, because they include nitrogen and ammonia, which actually smell like animal urine, so it doesn't do it.
It just exaggerates the effect.
Yes. So what you should do is either use a proprietary animal urine remover, and there's a number of these available. There's one called Urine Off, and there's a whole bunch of other ones as well. And they work very well. Or you can do it yourself by using a warm water solution, a biological soap powder, Just made up, you know, your washing powder made up into warm solution. Soak the area, leave it for a while, dry it off, spray it with surgical spirit, and then dab it dry. And that will effectively remove the smell. In the meantime, what you should do is I would get an indoor kennel for the dog to restrict where it goes. And the cats, I would guess, try and keep the cat out as much as possible.
My two cats have started peeing and pooing on my bed and my son's bed while he was asleep in it. And also they've done it in the bath. They've never done it before. They're both male and they're outside during the day. What should I do? That's from Caroline.
Well, I think when it starts to happen a lot like that, the first thing I think about is that there may be a bully cat outside preventing them from... I mean, cats have to feel relaxed and not threatened when they go to the loo outside. If there's a big tomcat about to pounce on them whenever they go, then that can really upset them. So a case like that, I would definitely get litter trays. And even if you haven't had them before or needed them before, put litter trays in your house. And the rule of thumb is you have one litter tray per cat plus one extra one. That means three litter trays in your house. You may not want to do that, but it will be a lot better than having them go where they want and where you don't want.
We're lucky to have up to five grey squirrels in our small garden every day. I love to see them, but we have two small children, one and three. And I'm wondering if squirrels pose any health risk and that we should be aware of. We always make sure our children wash hands after playing in the garden.
Well, not to my knowledge. No, squirrels don't carry zoonoses. I think just common sense applies, and that's exactly what you're doing. So that's fine.
OK, that's fine. A very interesting one on biting, but you're doing Facebook Live.
Yes.
So all you have to do is check out our Facebook page and Pete will be there to answer the question. One about biting, which is a bit disturbing.
Ooh,
perhaps
you'll
do that on Facebook. But for the moment, Pete Wedderburn, thank you very much for joining us. That's all we have time for. If you want to hear more from the show, visit the news.